And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on a throwback Thursday with plenty to get to over the next couple of hours. Coming up is the player movement in NBA hurting the league. Plus, the first football game of the year is tonight. Which divisions in the NFL, even which conferences in college football are the most up for grabs? Also, will the Gamecocks have a top five rushing attack in the SEC? Which schools produce the best talent at which positions? We got a lot to get to today. A lot of thoughts. We'll see if we can even get to everything. Why, I think we got further proof that Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC sooner than you think. Simone Biles speaks out at the Olympics. The Atlanta Braves get back to 500. Urban Meyer is up to his old ways at training camp. And a whole lot more over the next few hours. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery a little bit later on. We'll have our training camp check-in with the Atlanta Falcons today to see how things are going in the first year of head coach Arthur Smith. That's coming up in the final hour this afternoon. And we have tickets to give away. We have tickets to the Charleston Battery game tomorrow night. We have more tickets to the Charleston River Dogs this weekend, including tonight for Thirsty Thursday. And we have our wrestling wrap-up, as we do every Thursday here on the show. It is a throwback Thursday. We'll also probably reminisce along the way, with it being Hall of Fame weekend in the NFL and the preseason getting underway tonight. Plenty to do over the next couple of hours. We'll see if we can even squeeze it all in. I got a lot of thoughts and opinions on everything going on. And you, of course, can always join the conversation as well, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays, on Facebook, at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there. Click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can always find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Thursday, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, what's going on? This Friday Eve is so fine. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Hopefully, we already got the rain out of the way. It already rained this morning, or overnight at least, so hopefully for one day here we don't get some rain. The River Dogs were able to play their doubleheader last night, so if you were one of the lucky winners from yesterday's show and went out and watched the River Dogs last night, hopefully you enjoyed those games. We have some more tickets to give away, including for tonight's Thirsty Thursday, and tickets to give away to the Battery's home game tomorrow night as we catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery an hour from now. Plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Let me start with this. NBA free agency is continuing all week long. Players are moving left and right. Big deals are being signed. Is this good for the league? I found this interesting. Ted Leonsis is the owner of the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals. Millionaire, big business guy, owns a lot. He owns the arena that the Wizards play in, the Mystics, the WNBA team, everything. He runs the sports scene in D.C., outside of the Washington football team owned by Dan Snyder. But he had an interesting thought, comment, or quote this week when, as the owner of the Wizards and the Washington Capitals, he said, "We had a superstar player with the Wizards. He had an opportunity and wanted to be traded to the Lakers." He, of course, is talking about Russell Westbrook. And then he continues and says, And I was dealing with that as we were also announcing Alex, talking about Alex Ovechkin, the hockey player. I couldn't help but self-reflect on what a difference it is. Here's a great player in Russell Westbrook, played in Oklahoma City, wanted to be traded, went to Houston, wanted to be traded, came to D.C., wanted to be traded, and is now in L.A. He's an unbelievably great person and an unbelievably great player. But that's the difference between the NBA and the NHL, I suppose, is what the owner of both the Wizards and the Washington Capitals had to say. Because Alex Ovechkin signed another contract that will keep him with the Capitals for probably the rest of his career. The only team he has played with since coming into the league in 2005, and he just signed a 5-year contract with them to stay with them. If he remains for the length of that contract, at that point we're talking about, what, 20 years since he originally signed with them? So the owner of both the Capitals and the Wizards says that's the difference between the sports. And I think it's an interesting point. I don't know if it's the best sports to use. Because if the NBA's popularity has taken a hit in recent years, well, the NHL isn't doing any better than any of these other sports. In fact, the NHL got beat out in the ratings this year by even soccer now in this country. So I don't know if the NHL's the right sport to use, but I still think the point he's making may have some accuracy. That player movement is actually not good for the league. And we could talk about the NBA ratings, and, you know, they've lost statistically the belief, the numbers that they've lost half of their audience in the last decade. And there's a lot that goes into it, right? Maybe for you it was politics. Maybe for you it was just the same old teams over and over again. Maybe it's the style of play. Whatever it could be, the player movement maybe plays a role. Or you know, LeBron's on the West Coast and you can't watch him, so the ratings go down because you're not staying up. A lot of injuries the last couple of years. People are cord cutting. There's a lot that goes into it. But I don't know if player movement helps in a sport or a league. You look around all the other sports. And let me first give this disclaimer, I suppose, that I don't fault the players for getting the money that they can. Because you only have a certain number of years to get this type of money. You know, in most other industries, you could work theoretically the rest of your life. Your company may not want you still coming into work when you're, you know, in your late 60s. We could talk about ageism, but most people believe you start to slip a little bit, right? Or you don't have the energy, whatever it may be. But from like a broadcasting standpoint, Vince Scully worked till he was 90, right? Harry Callis, all the great broadcasters work until they're in their 80s. Brent Musburger still working. He's like 85. You could do it for the rest of your life. You can make money, do what you love. As an athlete, you only have a certain amount of time. And then after retirement, you'll have opportunities, but probably won't be making the same type of money you did as a player for most of these guys. If you're Drew Brees, you could go right into the broadcast booth, make even more money there than when you were playing for the Saints. Interesting how that works out. But for most of these guys, this is your opportunity. You have a few years, a small window, make the money you can to set yourself up for the rest of your life. That's why a lot of these guys go broke afterwards, because they don't have the money coming in and they're still spending like when they were in the NFL. And they just spend up all their money that was supposed to last them for the next 40 or 50 years. So I don't fault the players for getting the money while they can. I also can't fault the NBA players for having the league turn into this player-run operation where we have players demanding trades. Do I think it's good for the league? Probably not. That's a whole other conversation. But can I fault the players? No, because who wouldn't want more power? Right, for you as an employee at your company, wouldn't you love to be making the calls and making the decisions? Who would turn that down? So I can't fault the players. I don't think it's good for the NBA, but I'm not going to put it all completely on the players of the league because if I was in their shoes, I would want the same exact thing. I would want the power. I would want to be able to control where I go. I'd want to tell them, hey, trade me over there. And then get that trade, right? I would love to walk into my boss and say, hey, I would love to go work over there. Send me over there. Oh, okay, sure, you got it. Or, hey, give me this much money. Okay, sure, whatever you need. Right? I wish I had that power. So I can't fault the players for that. But with all that said, with the way of the NBA, is the player movement good or bad for the sport in the league? Because 40% of the league are free agents this year. And that's nothing new. The NBA has set a record last year, I believe it was, where 2 years ago, this past offseason, wasn't much of one, but 2 years ago, I believe it was, maybe last year, I'm getting all confused with the pandemic. The last regular offseason we had more All-Stars moved than ever before in the NBA. We had almost half of the league change teams in one offseason. And I don't think it is good for the NBA. Now, I do think that the younger fans are more into players than teams. I think the younger fans also have a lack of patience. This is a big concern for the owners of sports leagues. Rob Manfred's trying to figure this out with Major League Baseball. Right? They have shorter attention spans. People are on their phone all the time. They consume the sports differently. They just want to see the highlights on Instagram instead of sitting down and watching a three-hour game. So we have shorter attention spans, shorter amount of patience, even in how we judge athletes. You'll judge a quarterback based off of 8 games now. Right? If he doesn't look good by November, he can't be a franchise quarterback. On to the next one. Back in the day, he used to get a few years. Right? Troy Aikman was terrible his rookie year. Peyton Manning was terrible. It's okay. They're young. We'll stick with them. Nowadays, that wouldn't happen. Ask Josh Rosen. So we have a lack of patience. We have a lack of an attention span. And so for a lot of fans, maybe you like the players moving around because you don't want to wait around for your team to be built up. You want to skip steps, right? If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you don't want to wait for the draft and develop these players. No, go out and sign Kevin Durant. Who wouldn't want to bring that star power in and see their teams be better? Or if you're a fan of just a player like a Kevin Durant, maybe, right, you get tired of him being in Golden State. All right, let's go see him play somewhere else. Now he signs in Brooklyn. That's new, interesting. It's fun. And we have shorter attention spans, lack of patience. Then after a couple years there, it's like, all right, on to the next thing. Let's see him go play somewhere else. I want to see him go team up with this guy now. And also with the use of fantasy football or video games where you can control franchises and you can put players wherever you want. So I think there is a certain percentage of fans that do like this. But look at all the other leagues. Right, the best players, the most popular players, like a Mike Trout doesn't go anywhere. Ronald Acuna won't play anywhere other than the Braves. Fernando Tatis Jr. won't play anywhere other than the Padres. Mike Trout, like I said, won't play anywhere other than the Angels. Derek Jeter didn't play anywhere other than the Yankees. The most popular players of Major League Baseball, some of the all-time greats. Right, don't change teams. You could go back, of course, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio. There wasn't free agency back then, so it was different. In all these sports, free agency is still a relatively new practice. But even since free agency has begun. In the NFL, Tom Brady was with the New England Patriots for, I mean, as long as he could be. Yes, he has changed teams. We see quarterbacks usually change teams at the end of their career, but they don't move around all that often until the team believes they have nothing left and they still believe they can play at a high level. Right? But like Brett Favre spends almost his entire career in Green Bay, then wraps up somewhere else. Peyton Manning spent almost his entire career, and then the Colts said, all right, this guy's done. He goes to Denver. Usually that's the team making the decision when they feel like it's time to move on from the quarterback. Packers thought it was time to move on from Favre. Colts thought it was time to move on from Manning. Even the Patriots thought it was time to move on from Tom Brady. That was kind of mutual, like some of these other decisions, but still the teams were in on it. Even go back to Montana, right? The Niners are ready to move on for him, for Steve Young. It's the team making the decision, not the players. And I think the owner of the Capitals and Wizards was talking about, you know, kind of loyalty. There is no loyalty in sports. The teams aren't going to be loyal to the players, so why should the players be loyal to the teams? But I do think it's better for the sports when you have these guys, like a Patrick Mahomes, who will be in Kansas City for, you believe, the entirety of his career. And the fans can root for him, and they can buy his jerseys, and they can come up with him, watch him as a rookie get drafted, develop, turn into a MVP, watch him over the years. He's your guy. You know who's playing that position every week. You buy the headbands. You buy all the merchandise. You love rooting for Mahomes. You have that connection. I think it's part of the problem in college sports, or at least the concern. With the one-and-done in college basketball, and now the transfer rule in college football and basketball, guys shuffling all over the place. College sports was supposed to be that community that even if you only have them for 4 years, right, those are your guys, and you watch them develop from freshman to senior year, and oh, wait till this guy's a senior, he's going to be so good, and you watch him through the struggles, and you know, you get to meet him maybe because it's not the big leagues, a little more of a community. You can meet these guys on campus or at different events, and you're rooting for them. You get to know maybe the families, whatever it is. That was part of the appeal of the college scene. If you're a college student, you have classes with these kids. They're just regular kids. And you watch him for 4 years, and that's your star, and he's there. Now, with the transfer portal, right, he's over here, he's over there, he's on this team now, 3 teams in 3 years. You're bringing in a different quarterback, you're changing this position. So you need, even as a season ticket holder, you need the little roster handout when you walk into the stadium to see, like, all right, who's actually on the team? Who's playing this year? Who's playing today? Who's our running back? Who's our power forward this year? Oh, where did he go? He transferred. Oh, we got this kid from this school. But imagine if Patrick Mahomes bounced around like some of these players in the NBA. Kevin Durant. Right, he's bounced around the last couple years. LeBron James has bounced around. Look at the best players in the NBA and the number of teams they played. Russell Westbrook's a great example. Right, gets traded through like almost 3 straight years here. The best players changing teams every season. Half the league moving around. You don't know who's going to be on your team. You can't even buy a jersey. You can't even get connected to these guys because they're just going to leave anyways. It's like, well, it's good to have him for a year, and then we'll see who we get after that. Hopefully things work out while he's here. Imagine if Patrick Mahomes did the same thing. Imagine if Mahomes played for three teams over the next 5 years. Would that be better for the NFL, or would it be good to have him in Kansas City and that fan base could, you know, rally behind him and get connected to him, and you know, okay, the Chiefs over here with Mahomes, they're going to be competitors for years to come. Right, Tom Brady in New England, would it have been better for him to bounce around and play for four teams in his career or spend the majority of it in New England and then for these last couple of years go to Tampa Bay when he's still in his 40s? Right, even Brett Favre, as a Packer fan, think about it. Brett Favre is with the Packers. Then he goes to the Jets for 1 year, the Vikings for 2 years. Like, was that preferred? At the end of Favre's career, did we think, like, this is better? It is great to see Favre play for all these different teams. Or does it kind of ruin it? Didn't you kind of think, like, eh, it's too bad he couldn't just finish his career in Green Bay. Now, as a Vikings fan, I love that he came to Minnesota. But right, you watch some of these guys, it's like, oh, it's too bad they couldn't just finish their career. It's too bad Peyton couldn't just finish in Indianapolis. See him go to Denver. Sure, he won a Super Bowl. He also struggled quite a bit. I mean, watch some of these guys think that they still have it. Go play somewhere else. They can't. I don't know if it's good for the NBA. Now, Seinfeld does the famous bit, sports. You don't root for players or even teams. You're just rooting for laundry. The players change so often. You're just rooting for the laundry that they wear. If you're a Gamecock fan, right, that's just the laundry you root for, those jerseys. The garnet and black, that's what you're rooting for. It doesn't matter who's wearing it. You're just rooting for the laundry they're going to wash after the game. And that's not more true than in the NBA. And the NBA hasn't always been like that. Right? The NBA has been, we believe, on a decline of late. Well, go back 20 years. Right? I mean, Michael Jordan never changed teams. Kobe Bryant thought about it, never changed teams. Larry Bird, Magic, stayed on the same teams. Right? The greatest players, Patrick Ewing, changed teams at the very end when the Knicks moved on from him, but he spent 15 years there. Hakeem Olajuwon changed teams his final year, same idea, when the team moved on from him. That's the difference. When the team's willing to move on from you because you have nothing left, compared to the players just bouncing around 1 year to the next during their prime. But if you go back and look, right, some of the greatest players, even after free agency started, some of the greatest players in NBA history, they all played for the same team, David Robinson, Tim Duncan. But over here now in the past 10 years, you have guys shuffling around, and we don't see it in other sports. In baseball, you don't let Fernando Tatis get away. You sign him to a 14-year deal to keep him in your uniform for the rest of his career. Because you know that's the best thing for your team. It's the best thing for the sport. It's the best thing for the fan base, maybe even the player himself. Ronald Acuna, same idea. Mike Trout, you don't let those guys get away. In football, you don't let Patrick Mahomes leave. You sign him to a long-term deal. Any of these other quarterbacks, if the Bills think Josh Allen's the guy, right, they're not going to let him leave. Lamar Jackson, any of these other guys. We want you to be our quarterback for the rest of your career. But in basketball, now they really have no control. You may want Russell Westbrook to be your star moving forward, but it's really up to him. And I don't know if it's good for the league to have these guys move. To have 40% of the league turnover every year. Imagine if you worked in an office where every year 4 out of 10 people were changing. They were either getting fired or they were leaving for other positions. You look around and say, like, well, I don't really have a future here. I mean, there's so much turnover. We can't get on the same page. It's chaos all the time. You're learning new people. I'm probably going to be next. I don't want to be here, right? You don't see the future, the long-term plan with that company. When every year they turn over 40% of the staff, it's like, oh, this is not a place to be. This is not a place to build or stay or, you know, make a career out of. It's just a stepping stone. That's like the NBA. All these teams, these moves, they're just stepping stones until they move on to the next thing. So I don't know if the NHL is the best example to use because, really, they're not doing all that great in this country either when it comes to trying to win the sports scene. But I do agree with the premise that the player movement in the NBA is worse for the sport, right? Does more damage to the sport than it does help. I do believe so. I think it's better if LeBron had just stuck with his hometown Cavs his entire career. I think it would be great if Westbrook and Durant and even Harden stuck in Oklahoma City. And you couldn't have afforded all three, but, you know, wouldn't that be cool and see them develop and what they turn into? I do think that's better for the sport, better for the fans, better for the teams. Have Pat Mahomes be in Kansas City his entire career instead of bouncing around every 2 years. And we're seeing it again this week in the NBA with guys moving left to right, changing the teams. Somebody's playing on their eighth team, right? 40% of the league changing every year. I don't think it's helping the NBA. I don't know if it's hurting, but I don't think it's helping the NBA. Coming up, we have the first official football game tonight. Football is back. Which divisions are the most wide open? We could even do this for college football. It's not as easy as of an exercise. Or maybe easier of an exercise, but in college football, which conferences are the most wide open. We'll get to that coming up. It's the Mauer Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Mauer Midday Show.
Our first official football game is tonight. Which divisions in the NFL, which conferences in college football are the most up for grabs this football season? It's the Mauer Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got tickets to give away to the River Dogs and the Charleston Battery coming up a little bit later on. Stay tuned for that. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery next hour. We'll check in with the Atlanta Falcons training camp later on this afternoon. It is a Throwback Thursday. Tonight we have the Hall of Fame game as the first football game of the season. Steelers-Cowboys. Now, neither quarterback is going to be to play the game tonight, as I understand it. Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott. You'll see a lot of people you probably never heard of, or, oh, like, I didn't know that guy was in the NFL. I remember him in college. Oh, he signed with the team. That's good. See if he can make the club. But it's still enjoyable just to sit down, kick your feet up, be able to watch a football game. It's Thursday. Around here, we call it Friday Eve, so it's a nice start to the weekend. You got some football to watch tonight. If you got nothing else going on, I'll be tuned in, looking forward to it. I've been fortunate enough to go to almost every Hall of Fame in the sport. I'm talking about major sports. I haven't been to, like, the Curling Hall of Fame, which I think actually may be in, like, Connecticut, where I grew up. There's some sort of curling thing in Connecticut. I don't know if it's the Hall of Fame. There's some sort of curling thing that I had no idea until after I moved. Like, oh, that's in Connecticut? I had no idea. Some sort of building based around curling. But I've been to Cooperstown. I've been to the NBA, or basketball. It's not the NBA. But the Basketball Hall of Fame. I've been fortunate enough to go to Canton and go to the Football Hall of Fame, see that field that they're going to be playing on tonight. High schools were able to play on it. Pretty cool. Been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Never been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I think those are the only Hall of Fames I've been to. Cooperstown, baseball is cool because it's all about the history and traditions. So that's why Cooperstown is cool. And what they did really well there is like a stadium. The new stadiums, they do this with a lot of new stadiums where they have the parking right at the stadium so that you can all tailgate together instead of being spread out throughout a city or a town. Right? You got all these different parking lots. If you go to some of the new stadiums, they make sure to not only have enough land for the stadium, but they also want to have enough parking because, well, for the team, they then charge you for that parking and make them even more money. Instead of having you park at a gas station down the road or somebody's, you know, neighborhood, somebody's backyard, they want to make that money. So it's of the interest for the teams as well. So like some of the newer baseball stadiums or football stadiums, they'll have the parking lots. And it's fun. Everyone's together. It's communal. So it's similar. The Baseball Hall of Famer, they like shut down that whole row. That whole road, I should say, for the Hall of Fame weekend, and you have all the Hall of Famers come back, and they do autograph signings, and they're in all the different, right, all the different stores on that street sell, like, memorabilia and stuff, and there'll be different players in each store doing signings, and it just has that old-school feel. They have double-day field where they have tournaments. You could go see the baseball stadium there, and it just feels like you went back. It feels like Field of Dreams. You went back in time when you walked down that street. And it's shut down, and it's decorated, and people are all out and about, and the buildings look old. And that's just what baseball, when you think of baseball, right, you think of that history, tradition, old school players. I think more so than any other sport. So that's really cool about going to Cooperstown. I've been a couple times. You go once, you probably don't have to go again. Right? But I happened to live not far from there at one point, and I thought, it's been a long time since I went as a kid. Let me go again. And you go, and you see all the history, and you read the numbers, and for a stat geek like me, right, I love it, looking at all the data they have on the walls and everything. The Basketball Hall of Fame is cool because they have a lot for, like, the kids. We used to go all the time because I grew up only about an hour from there, and I've been there many times, and it was fun. They have, like, a half court in there that you can shoot around. they have a little booth. And this is where I got my start, I guess. You could pretend to be a broadcaster and broadcast some iconic moment. That's where I must have gotten my start as a broadcaster. They have all these different games you could play. They have like a whole floor where it's just like games. And they're they are informative and everything, and they're supposed to teach you. But still, you watch videos. They have like a little movie theater. You can watch documentaries on players. So the Basketball Hall of Fame has that going for it. And the Football Hall of Fame was pretty cool as well, to see all the history and tradition and a lot of it, because the NFL is a little more modern, right? Since the merger, it's only been about 50 years, so a lot of it is newer. You go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you're reading about somebody from 1917, and depending on who you are, that may not resonate with you. Like, you never heard of the guy. You don't care about 100 years ago. Football, it's all a little more recent. You see things that, oh, I remember watching him play. I remember that moment. Oh, look at that. That's really cool. So they all, of course, have something different to offer. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was cool as well as a music fan, right? There's music everywhere. You have different displays. You can see all the different guitars and different stuff they wore and everything. But it's so hard for something like that to try to get everything in there, right? You leave there thinking like, oh, they didn't really have anything on so-and-so. Or they're a little lacking in this department, because there's just so much when you talk about all music. At least, you know, the NFL, you have to play in the league. It's only about 50 years. You only have X number of great players. There's a limit to how many guys can be in the league. Music, there's no limit. You could have as many legendary bands each year as you want. So anyways, the Hall of Fame games tonight, Steelers-Cowboys playing right there in Canton at the Hall of Fame. I guess I should have mentioned this sooner, but there's also that new airline, Breeze. They have a direct flight from Charleston to Canton, and it's only like $100. So if you ever want to go to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame or for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, it's a cheap airline. They fly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, Mondays. I've already used them before. And that's perfect. They only have X number of direct flights available, like certain cities they fly to, and they actually have a flight from Charleston to Canton and back from Canton to Charleston. So hop on one this afternoon and go up to the game tonight and the Hall of Fame this weekend. But we have the Cowboys and the Steelers playing tonight, and I won't spend any time on it other than to say it's interesting that we have these two teams that have these historic brands that won a bunch of Super Bowls in the past, that, you know, the Cowboys are America's team. The Steelers really aren't too far behind. There's fans all over. But then you look at them heading into this season, or just past seasons, they've really been underwhelming. And we pay more attention to the Cowboys than the Steelers because the Cowboys have probably been more underwhelming. They've had only 4 winning seasons the last 11 years. But go back and look at the Steelers. While they make the playoffs quite a bit, since their last Super Bowl victory, they've really underperformed in those playoffs, losing a lot of first games, losing to a lot of backup quarterbacks. So you have two teams playing tonight, and it's going to be like their practice squads. But two teams that, you know, have the tradition, have the history. That's why the NFL wanted them to play for the first game tonight. But as we head into the season, they both need to have good years. Ben Roethlisberger's on his way out. Dak Prescott signed the contract, but he still has something to prove. Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat. And two teams that just haven't won enough over the past decade. The Steelers get to the playoffs, and they get there, they lose in the first round. What good is it? Right? You're losing to backup quarterback. You're losing to the Browns without their head coach. To the Cleveland Browns. So two teams with great history, but really have been underperforming of late. Here's what I wanted to do with this segment, though, instead of focusing on the Hall of Fames. It is a Throwback Thursday, so I figured I'd share my experiences of going to the Hall of Fames, which are all about throwing it back and reminiscing about the history. But as we start the football season, unofficially tonight, which divisions in the NFL are most up for grabs this year? I grabbed all of the Vegas odds, and I ordered the favorites from largest favorite to smallest favorite. The Chiefs are the largest favorite in the NFL this year to win their division, followed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not much of a surprise. Those are the top two. Then the Bills in the AFC East. Then the Packers in the NFC North. Those are the only four teams that have minus odds, right, where you have to put down more money than you would win. They're the, I guess you would say, heavy favorites in that sense. Then the four division winners who have plus odds, where you can make more money than you have to put down, the Titans, followed by the Ravens, the Cowboys, and the smallest favorite to win their division is the Rams. And I find this somewhat interesting. I don't think the Chiefs are the largest lock. I don't think the Rams are the biggest toss-up, like Vegas believes. My biggest lock would be the Buccaneers, because I have no idea who the second-best team in that division is. I think the Saints will take a step back this year. I think the Falcons and Panthers will be improved, but not enough to challenge Tampa Bay. I think the Buccaneers also, by the way, the Buccaneers have the easiest schedule in the league this year, even though they just won the Super Bowl. If you look at the Buccaneers' schedule, they could. It's not going to happen. but they could go 17-0 this year. But go Google their schedule, right? If you're not driving, you're sitting at your computer, whatever it is, you got your phone, you look up their schedule, you could see Tom Brady going 17-0 this year. I think the Bucs are the biggest lock to win their division. They have no competitors. The Chiefs at least have the Chargers to worry about. Now, can the Chargers realistically compete for that division? We'll find out. But I think so. They may let me down this year. First-year head coach, still a young quarterback, always have injuries. Maybe they'll disappoint me. But I do think the Chargers challenge the Chiefs. I think the Chargers win double-digit games and will be right behind Kansas City. They'll be on their heels this year. So I don't think the Chiefs are the biggest lock to win their division. I think the Buccaneers are. I think the Bills are a pretty good favorite as well. And the Packers are always a good favorite with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm warning you, watch out for those Minnesota Vikings. The Athletic did a ranking yesterday of the best defenses in the league this year, predicting who will be the best defense. Number one on the Athletic's list, the Minnesota Vikings. They think they'll have the best defense in the league this year. But as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you should be favored. In terms of the other divisions, the Titans I would also put as a pretty heavy favorite now with the Colts' issues. The Jaguars are rebuilding, even though I like them this year. The Texans are a dumpster fire, and the Colts not only have Carson Wentz to rely upon, but now an injured Carson Wentz. I think the Titans should be a pretty heavy favorite. I would put them up there towards the top of the list, ahead of both the Packers and the Bills. I would say Bucks, maybe the Titans number two. Chiefs, Bills, Packers. And then when it comes to the biggest toss-ups, the AFC North is a good one, where the Ravens are the favorite, but of course you have the Steelers who just made the playoffs, the Browns who just made the playoffs, and the Bengals who should be better. That is certainly a toss-up. The Rams in the NFC West, even though it's the toughest division of football, I don't think that's the biggest toss-up. I would pick the Rams to win. I could see the Niners. I don't think the Seahawks are good enough to win the division. They're more of a wild-card team, and the Cardinals aren't good enough yet to win the division. But the biggest toss-up right now in the NFL from the division standpoint should certainly be the NFC East. It's not in the eyes of Vegas, but it is in the eyes of yours truly. The Cowboys are the favorites, but I could see almost any team other than the Eagles. I could see the Giants, the Washington football team, or the Cowboys winning that division. The Cowboys have the best offense in the division. The Washington football team has the best defense in the division, and the Giants have the best combination of the two. They don't have the best offense or defense, but they have the best average, right? If you took an average score, if you graded offense, defense, the Cowboys, great offense, but the average is dragged down by the defense, right? You'd have like a 100 and a 50. The Washington football team, right? Great defense, bad offense, potentially, with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Same idea. You have like a 100 and a 50. It's throw off the average. But the Giants could have a top 10 defense once again, like they did last year, and could have a much improved offense. They'd be right in the middle there, where they'd be good in both areas instead of great and bad. Good in both, maybe that's enough to win the division. I think the NFC East is the biggest toss-up in the NFL this year. When it comes to college football, it's more predictable. Clemson is the largest favorite by a long shot to win their division. No surprise there. I do think that's the biggest lock. Then you have Ohio State as the second largest favorite to win the Big Ten, followed by Oklahoma, Alabama, and Oregon. Oregon's the only team that has plus odds. All the other favorites are pretty heavy favorites. Clemson's the obvious pick for the biggest favorite. I'd probably go Alabama second, maybe Oklahoma. Oklahoma, the big concern would be Iowa State. That's about it. Alabama, right, maybe Georgia wins. Maybe Texas A&M surprised them, but it's hard to bet against Nick Saban. And the two toss-ups, obviously the Pac-12 is the biggest toss-up, no debate there. But I think the Big Ten could be a little interesting this year. Ohio State should be the favorite, right? But Penn State could be interesting. Wisconsin could be interesting this year. I will not count out a desperate Harbaugh in Michigan. I would put Ohio State fourth. But the Pac-12 is certainly the biggest toss-up. And when you look at the Vegas odds, you have Oregon at plus 260, Washington at plus 350, USC at plus 400, Arizona State's plus 500, so too is Utah. A lot of teams close together. And a lot of them could win. I could see USC winning. I could see Arizona State winning that conference, Washington, or any of those teams. The Pac-12, once again, is the biggest toss-up in college football, while Clemson, once again, is the biggest favorite or biggest lock to win their conference. Coming up, speaking of college football, will the Gamecocks have a top five rushing attack in the SEC this year? It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, will the Gamecocks have a top five rushing attack in the SEC this year? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll also be giving away some tickets to the Charleston River Dogs game tonight, Thirsty Thursday. Get yourself some cheap beer and watch some good baseball. We'll be doing that in just a few moments. Stay tuned here on the Morrow Midday Show. Joe, are you superstitious at all?
No, not really.
I'm not in my personal life, but I am as a sports fan. And I think I've shared these stories before. But growing, more so when I was growing up, but even now. But growing up, right, I would wear the same thing. That's the one superstition I've held on today. I could not wear my team stuff during the game, not current players. So if I'm watching a Vikings game, I'll go with a Fran Tarkenton jersey, right, a Brett Favre jersey, Michael Bennett. Don't want to wear a current player because if I wear their jersey, they're going to have a terrible game. Right? They're going to, if I wear a Kirk Cousins jersey, he's going to throw an interception in the fourth quarter to lose. If I wear an Adam Thielen jersey, he's going to fumble. It just always seems to work out that way. And then for, like, say, the Red Sox, I can't wear Red Sox stuff during the game. If I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt while watching the game, they're going to lose. In fact, when I'm watching the game and they start losing and I have a Red Sox shirt on, I'll change. Sometimes I'm too lazy to go to my bedroom and get another shirt, so I'll just sit there without a shirt on and watch the game because I think, oh, no, this is better, not for the people around me, but it's better for the team than if I continue to wear this Red Sox shirt. But back when I was growing up, I was very superstitious as a fan. You'd have to sit in the same position. Right? And when the Red Sox in 2004 in that ALCS against the Yankees, well, those games would go 5 hours and I wouldn't move. Couldn't take a bathroom break. You had to sit in the same position. Couldn't move while they were pulling off those comebacks. Hey, the Gamecocks begin practice tomorrow, so too does Clemson. The Citadel began practice yesterday. College football in general, is here. It begins tonight with the Hall of Fame game in the NFL. I saw this. Gene Chizik on the SEC Network posted his ran through his top five rushing attacks in the SEC this year. And he put Georgia at number one, Texas A&M at number two, Alabama three, Auburn four, Florida number five. Left the Gamecocks off his top five list. Made a lot of Gamecock fans upset. But I do understand it. If I was doing a top five, I would put South Carolina in that top five and leave out Florida. Now, Florida does have some potential. Phil Steele has Florida as the most improved rushing attack this year. They bring back their four leading rushers from a year ago, plus they have a transfer from Clemson. But their rushers were all really freshmen last year. So the idea, right, where they always say, what's the best thing about freshmen? Oh, they become sophomores. So the potential is there for Florida to be not only much improved, but could be a tough backfield as these guys have a little more experience. Last year, nobody had more than, of these running backs for Florida, nobody had more than 69 yards in a game. Right? They didn't have the big explosive performances. It was also a little more of a split backfield. So I could see the potential for Florida this year. But we've also seen a little more than potential for the Gamecocks. Now, some of it is based off of potential, right? Getting back a five-star recruit who was out for last year who's supposed to be the real deal. But the Gamecocks return the leading rusher from a year ago in the SEC, then add into the mix a five-star recruit who did not play last year, and also add the top-rated junior college running back who transferred in. So if we want to go off of expectations or potential, I mean, that trio or that list or what the Gamecocks have done in the last even 12 months going back to last season looks pretty good. I get Georgia being number one. Georgia always has a great rushing attack. In fact, if we have time later on this afternoon for a throwback, on a throwback Thursday, we'll go through an interesting piece done by ESPN.com where they ranked which schools produce the best talent at each position. Georgia always has good running backs, and they're returning their top like five rushers from a year ago. They'll be fine. Texas A&M, similarly. Alabama, Auburn, your usual suspects. But I do think South Carolina deserves to be top five in this list. They had the leading rusher a year ago. Now you have Marshawn Lloyd. You even have a mobile quarterback. And we'll see what the Shane Beamer, Marcus Satterfield offense looks like in trying to get those guys going. But for a Luke Doty, who's still a young quarterback, hasn't looked good enough just yet, could certainly help to rely on that run game that was very strong a year ago. I think the opportunities are certainly there for South Carolina to have a top five. It may be number five. Maybe they won't best Georgia, Texas A&M, Alabama on the ground or in Auburn, but I do think it should be top five. I would put them there at least ahead of Florida, if not some of those other schools as well. At minimum, I would have them at number 5. I disagree with Gene Chizik and his list. The River Dogs play tonight against the Green Jackets. It's a Thirsty Thursday, so you have cheap beer. One of our DJs from our sister station, DJ Natty Heavy, we played his parody song earlier this week of Return of the Mask. He'll be out there DJing as he does each Thirsty Thursday. It turns into a whole scene. It's a whole party out there at Joe Riley Park. The River Dogs and the Green Jackets tonight. I got 2 pairs of tickets. Now, you do have to come pick them up here at the radio station before the game. So that's why I'm trying to give these away. I should have given them away even earlier, but trying to give them away as soon as I can. We have 2 pairs of tickets. You have to come pick them up at the station, and then you can go enjoy some cheap beer and good baseball tonight at the Joe. Let's give away the first pair of tickets now. Just be the third caller. 843-721-9500. Third caller now will give you 2 tickets to tonight's River Dogs game, Thirsty Thursday at the Joe tonight. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, don't you know?
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Congratulations to Ryan in Goose Creek winning a pair of tickets to tonight's Thirsty Thursday Charleston River Dogs game. We'll be giving away another pair of tickets in just a little bit. Plus, we have some tickets for the Charleston Batteries game tomorrow night. I got all sorts of things to give away to you. We actually play this song on one of our radio stations?
On the city.
Oh, my goodness. Many people will know this from Family Guy. What an annoying song. Whoever thought that was a good idea? Even worse, I guess, was the idea to then for people to actually play it on the radio.
It was also prominently used in Full Metal Jacket.
Ah. It's an annoying song, though. Last segment, I was talking about the top rushing attacks in the SEC. Gene Chizik put together, former coach, put together his top 5 list for SEC teams this year. And he left out the Gamecocks, which upset a lot of Gamecock fans. And I understand why. That's the one thing for South Carolina. Right? The trenches they could be pretty good in, but you got the rushing attack. We got plenty of questions about playmakers on the outside, about the quarterback, but they do or should at least have the rushing attack. Now, Chizik put Georgia, Texas A&M, Alabama, Auburn, and Florida in that order. And I get most of those teams. Right? Whether it's Isaiah Spiller coming back, Tank Bigsby coming back, Zamir White. For Alabama, they lose Najee Harris, but you always assume Alabama will be able to replace that talent. It's a safe bet to assume Alabama will be just fine without Najee Harris this year still running the football. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But that fifth team, Florida, while they're returning a lot of talent in the backfield, or what we believe to be good talent, right? None of those guys rushed for more than, I think it's 600 yards. None of them had more than 70 yards in a game. And when you look at the Gamecocks, you have Kevin Harris coming back, who had almost 12,000 yards last year in only 10 games. Now, it was helped out by big performances against a couple of terrible defenses, but nonetheless, that's part of the game. You play who's on your schedule. They'll play Vanderbilt again this year. He had almost 12,000 yards in 10 games, and all 10 games against the SEC. Right, so he'll have some non-conference opponents this year where you could have some big days against. And not only that, but he did it for a team that was typically trailing. Right, to rush for 12,000 yards on a team that was 2-8. It wasn't like they were always leading, and the second half is just, all right, let's give it to our running back and get out of here with a win. No, they're trailing. Right? We have to start throwing a little more, and he still went for 12,000 yards. They averaged 6 yards per carry, their running backs did. And now you take that and you add Marshawn Lloyd into the mix, right? We believe this year coming off of his injury, and even Quan White, who was listed as the most improved player of the spring for the Gamecocks this year on offense. Even add him as a third option in that backfield. So I think if there's anything for South Carolina to hang their hat on or be proud of or hope that can carry them this year, should actually be the rushing attack, and I do think it is a top 5. Is it higher than number 5? We could have a good debate. At minimum, it's top 5, ahead of Florida. And then we can argue about if you put them ahead of, say, Auburn and Tank Bigsby. Right? Probably. Or if you put them ahead of Alabama, hard to ever count out Alabama, but it's at minimum a top five rushing attack this year. That's the one thing you can feel good about for the Gamecocks going into this season, or at least should be able to feel good about. Hey, coming up, we catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery every week. We have some tickets to give away to the Charleston Battery's home game tomorrow night in just a little bit. But when we come back, we'll check in with their goalie. The keeper of the Battery will join us next. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.